Eternal Rock of Ages, our Father and our God, we give you praise, we give you glory, honor, and adoration. We thank you for how you've been with us from the beginning of the week to this time. We thank you for your mercy, for your grace, and for your love. Father, we thank you because we have come to your presence today, because the Bible says where two or more are gathered, there you are in their midst. Father, Lord, we pray that you pervade this atmosphere this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, we pray that nothing will be said by wisdom of men or by man's logic, but everything will come from your unction and from your direction in the name of Jesus. We speak concerning everyone who will be ministering today. Father, Lord, we pray that you anoint their lips of clay. Father, Lord, that they would not do violence to your word, but they would do justice to your word, speaking and rightly dividing your word according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Father, Lord, we pray for the choir and every other person, O God. We pray that you touch their lips, O God. Father, Lord, we ask for the gift of your presence to inhabit these praises this morning in the name of Jesus. We pray for as many people who are on their way to church. We pray that you quicken their steps, O God. Father, Lord, we give you praise. We thank you for answered prayer, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning, we'll be talking about leading, guiding, and directing. We'll be looking at what made Jesus a good leader, why he was good at guiding people, and this would be the focus. We'll all be participating in it, and we'll all be contributing and reading as the Holy Spirit guides us. Amen. Now, the first thing we consider here is that Jesus focused on doing what God the Father wanted. And this is the main bane. If we're going to be able to be a good leader, especially as children of God, if we're going to lead the people right, we must focus on what God wants us to do. And if we look at the book of John chapter 5 verse 19, in this passage, I'm going to read this. It says, John 5, 19, it says, "Then Jesus answered and said, 'Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also do in like manner.'" And now this is the very important bit of it. Who is our role model? Jesus has said God is his role model. Who do we pick as our role model to follow? Who is our example of Christian leadership? Who is our example of guidance and directing? It is God. Jesus has made God his role model. Who do we make our own role model? Jesus said that I and my Father are one. We'll say that kids, when they grow, the first person they see in their house, in their lives, are their parents. And they tend to copy their parents because these are their role models. And this changes with time. As time goes on, you find out that the kids, they go to school, they start having peers, they look up to them, they look up to their teachers, and they want to be like somebody. So it is very important that we have a good role model, and we should make Christ our role model. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, somebody can read for us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. The book of Hebrews is the junction of the Bible, because that is where the New Testament and the Old Testament come together. Somebody read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. Hallelujah. He said, "To do thy will, O God," the will of the Lord. That is what Jesus wants to do. What is the will of God? I would like us to go into the book of Isaiah chapter 30 and see when God says somebody has done his will, what it means for God to say, "This person does my will." What does God expect from whoever does his will? And how does he expect such a person to, the book of Job, that's what I meant to say. Book of Job chapter 1, verse 8. Hallelujah. This is God talking about somebody, giving an example to the devil himself, how somebody has been perfect. He said, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth." That is what God has said concerning Job. He said that a blameless and upright man, one that fears God and shuns evil. This is what God wants us to do. We should be upright. We should be blameless. We should fear God and we should shun evil. That is what God expects us to do. This is the will of God. If we can do this, we'll walk in the will of God. We look at the book of Matthew chapter 26, verse 42. Here, Jesus said, "My Father, if this cup cannot pass over me, pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." This is Jesus wanting the will of God to be done in his life. And if we obey the will of God, we'll find out that God is going to speak to us. We need to have fellowship with God. How are we able to know what to tell the people of God if we are going to be good leaders? I want somebody to look at Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21 to 22. Somebody can read. Hallelujah. Thank you. It's just chapter 20, verse 21. And this is it. If we listen to God, God is going to speak to us in season, telling us what to do at any time. It says that you will, whenever you will hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left hand, God is going to direct us. God is going to give us a word, telling us where to go, what to tell his people. And this is evident even in the book, when the children of Israel were to go to war, and from each family, they were all sending troops, thousands upon thousands. The Bible says, "And of the sons of Issachar, which were men that had the understanding of time, who knew what Israel ought to do." This is God speaking. This is the Bible talking here. That the children of Issachar, they were men who had understanding of the time. We can only get this by walking with God, doing the will of God. The most important thing is obedience to the word of God. If we obey what God says, God is going to walk with us. God is going to have fellowship with us. And this is the will of God, that we walk in his way. If we walk in his way, he will teach us his way and teach us his. He will lead us and teach us what to do as children of God. Hallelujah. Another thing we'll look in Jesus' life is that we'll see that Jesus loved people. Jesus loved people. There's no doubt about it. Jesus let us know that the reason why he has come to this earth is because of the people. He has not come for those who are saved. He has come for those who are sinners. Not that the sinners should continue in their sins, but so that the sinners can turn aside and do the will of God. They can turn from evil to do good. And by so doing, God is going to have fellowship with them and they're going to walk in the way of the Lord. Now, we can only minister to people or affect people's life by showing love. If we do not love people, if we do not love the people we speak with, we cannot affect their lives. There's no way we can speak the word of God to a person and show hatred to that person and expect a person to follow what we preach. Jesus is an example of loving. Somebody read from the book of John chapter 15 verse 13. Hallelujah. Jesus lay down his life because he loved us so much. And this is just a manifestation of God's love himself. Because in the book of John 3, chapter 16, which is a popular verse that all of us know, it says, "For God so loved the world." For God so loved the world. The reason why he gave his only begotten son is because he so loved the world. The world at this time was sinful. Even though in the sinful nature of the world, God loved the world. And because he loved the world, he made a provision for salvation, which is Jesus Christ, who came and died for our sins, that we may be reconciled back to God. This is God's plans for us. This is his wish for us. And we must love the world. God is the perfect example of love. The Bible says that God is love, and whosoever love is of God. That is love. If we love, we are showing God in our life, in our lives, by loving, because God is love. That is the personification of love. Not to say that God loves so much, as such, he condones sins. We must be able to draw the line. You can love a person just like parents. You love your kids, yet you discipline them. There is a line, but God loves us. And the love that God has for us is the reason why he has done all that he has done. Sent Jesus, and Jesus loving us, that he said, "Greater love has no one than this, than a man lay down his own life for his friend." It's only Jesus who called us friends and laid down his life for us, that we may be reconciled from God, that we may be removed from darkness into the light, into his glorious light. That is what God wants for us, and that's what Jesus has done for us. Now, somebody look at the book of John, chapter 10, verse 11. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let's look at verse 15 of the same chapter. Hallelujah. Now the first part of it says, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. What does this tell us? Sacrifice. We cannot be good leaders. We cannot follow the way of Jesus if we don't learn sacrifice. Jesus said, "A good shepherd gives his life for his sheep." And if you look at shepherds, they don't care. They are like if you're driving, and perhaps you are to choose between another car, you're going to hit a car, and there's possibly maybe a bird on the road, you rather want to crush the bird. But a shepherd that leads sheep, these are his treasures. And he takes them, feeds them, and if they are attacked, he risks his own life to fight for the sheep. Like we saw David, how he fought the bear, just because the bear was going to attack the sheep, the flock of his father. This is what a shepherd does. He sacrificed. He makes sacrifice for his own. If we're going to be good leaders, we must make sacrifice. There are many ways we can sacrifice. There are many things that we want to do, but because the word of God or the way of God is, there's something of God to be done, we forego those things and we are here. Just like we're here today on Sunday, some of us would prefer to be elsewhere, but although it is better to be in the house of the Lord, because the psalmist said, "I was glad when they say, let us go into the house of the Lord." This is the psalmist speaking. And it means that where the house of the Lord is, where there's a function in the house of the Lord, David will rather be there. He will sacrifice every other thing to be in the presence of the Lord. We must learn sacrifice if we are going to be able to love people. There's no way you can love a person without sacrificing. It is impossible. Husbands and wives can talk about that a great deal. You make sacrifice to please your partner. You make sacrifice to please your children. The same vein. In the house of the Lord, you cannot please God without sacrifice. You can't say you love the people of God or love children of God without sacrificing your time and other things, to be able to spend time with the Word of God, listen to the Word of God, and be able to minister to people. Because it is only when you spend time with God that you can receive from God good word in season to minister to the people of God. The other passage we read in the book of John chapter 10 verse 15 says, "As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep." This is how many of us can say we know God or God knows us. The only way God can know us is by doing his will. Just the same way God spoke of Job, that he knows Job. And he could give account of Job to the devil. So how can we know God? By fellowshipping with God, spending time with God. And this is the only way we can get to know God. And God gets to know us because God abides with us and he visits us from time to time as we allow him. Hallelujah. The other way that Jesus was able to accomplish his leadership, guiding and directing skill was Jesus came to serve mankind. There is no leadership without service. The Bible says, "Let him who is great among you serve." That is what he said to the disciples. Somebody read from the book of Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Hallelujah. This is Jesus speaking. This story is when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. And he said that just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life in ransom. He talked about the rulers who also exercise authority over their people. But Jesus said he wants people, he has not come to be served, but he wants to serve. And this is an example. Jesus laying an example for us, what we are supposed to do, how we are supposed to accomplish leadership. This is, if you look at Moses, when God chose Moses, Moses lived in the palace. But Moses was going to lead the people. If he had been born as a slave, he would not understand what leadership is. And God made sure that Moses was trained in the palace, how kings rule. He was taught the ways of kings. But also, there's no way you can lead people who have been slaves without understanding what they have gone through. And that is why after Moses had understood what leadership is, God led him to know what slavery is so that he can see from both sides of the coins to see that if you want to lead a people, you must understand what they go through. And if you see in the book of John, the Bible says, the Word became flesh because Jesus had to come. He was going to lead mankind. We are sinners, we live in flesh. There is no way he being in God would come without understanding us, living in our situation, having lived the way we lived, he overcame. And then he could say that I've given you the authority and you can overcome. So in leadership, for you to be a good leader, you must learn service. It is very important to learn service. Jesus is an example. He showed us how to serve, washing his disciples' feet. He said, "He who is great among you, let him serve." That is what the Bible is talking about. And Jesus has shown this by this example. Also in the book of John chapter 13, 12 to 15, he says, "So when he had washed the feet, taking his garment and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know that I have done? Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you.'" This is Jesus speaking. That is the finality. "As I have done to you." Jesus is the leader, not just the leader of the disciples. He is the Son of God. And the Bible said, it is no robbery to consider him God, because he also said, I and my Father are one. He and God are the same. But he has condescended to the level of mankind. Not only has he come to the level of mankind, he has also shown an example by washing the feet of men. This is God himself washing the feet of men. So if we are going to be able to serve, we must be able to bring ourselves down. That is what service is. And in serving, we lay example of leadership. Because you can tell the people, this is what I have done. Or the people can see what you are doing and how you are doing. And when you say, come, let us go and do this, they will understand because you have been at their level. They know that you understand what they are going through. And this is what Jesus has done to his disciples. This is what is called fellowship. Fellow means people who are of the same. People who are equal in rank or position, are of the same background. This is fellowship. This is to say, this is my fellow. We are equal in rank. This is what God says when he says, fellowship with me. God wants to fellowship with us. And in fellowshipping with God, with us, he comes to our level. In the Garden of Eden, we saw God coming to visit Adam and Eve. He leaves his throne and comes down to have fellowship with mankind. This is God making himself equal to us. And that is why God was not happy when mankind fell from the position he has put him. And he had to talk about reconciliation. And that was why when Jesus died, it says the curtain was cut in two because the veil is taken off. We now have access back to God. To have fellowship that is equality, God sharing with us and we sharing with God. This is what fellowship is and this is what God expects us to do as children of God. And the only way we can lead effectively and see Jesus is by having Jesus as our role model, whose role model is God. Now in this, it says, Jesus led in obedience to God the Father from a heart of love and with an attitude to serve. Some other examples of leadership are here in directing. Jesus told his disciples what to do, how to do, and at every point in time, he was there to show them where to go. This is directing. This is what God has put for us. As children of God, we must be able to be examples in our workplace, at home, because in the house, you are leading somebody, either as the parent, or you are older to somebody. In school, you should be an example of Jesus in leading. In leading, there's different types of leadership. You might talk of leadership as a pastor, but there are leadership even in ministration to people. When you go to church, when you go to school or to work, the way you do your things as a child of God, it's an example of leadership because other people see you as an example and they follow. Is it not surprising to us that everyone, including those who don't even believe in God, knows how a child of God ought to live? If you say you are a Christian, if you do something wrong that is not supposed to be right, they tell you, oh, aren't you a Christian? Is it right? But they are not Christians. So they know how you're supposed to live. So we should learn to live that way. And we can only do this by following the direction of Jesus. Jesus also, there's a vision casting. He tells them what to do and what is to come. We can read in the Bible, the book of Revelation is a tale of things to come. The end time. What to expect, signs, these are all there in the Bible. Jesus himself said this and laid this down for us. He told his disciples and he gave this to us also to be able to understand and follow, to know. He said, inspiring others to follow him. This is Jesus, what Jesus did. He said, follow me. An example is in Matthew 4:19, when Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. This is Jesus speaking. He inspires others to follow him. Can we say people should follow us? The way we live our lives, is it good enough for people to follow? This teaching is not, the teaching of Jesus is never meant to condemn us, but to lead us in the right way that we might live according to the will of God. That is why the Bible is there. When we do wrong, we see what is written in the Bible and we correct our ways. That is what God expects of us. And that is what Jesus does, inspires others to follow. He also organized people to prepare for the Last Supper. We all know the story of the Last Supper. How they made, he told them to go and prepare the upper room. They all be prepared, and this is what Jesus did. Organized people, he spoke with them. We also should minister to people wherever we find the opportunity to do so. Opportunities will always present itself to us to minister the word of God to people. But we must pray to God to give us the boldness to be able to do it when it is there. Jesus empowered people. He said, feed them. We know the story of the feeding of the multitude. People were there, they were hungry. There was no way people would listen to Christ except they were fed. I mean, if you're hungry, you don't hear anything. After ministering to people, in this story, he had ministered to them and it was time for them to go home. And he did not want to leave them to go home hungry because they spent all their energy listening and following him. And what he did was he fed them. And somebody read the book of Matthew chapter 15, verse 33. I'll read it. He said, then his disciples said to him, where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? And if we look at verse 32, he said, now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want them to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. This is Jesus. After people have come to him, he did not want to send them away hungry. And such, he empowered them. He made sure they were fed. Jesus also modeling how to pray. He taught us in the book of Matthew chapter 16, verse 19 to 13, how to pray, the Lord's Prayer. Other is that he demonstrated how to exercise faith. In the book of Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, we saw Jesus telling his disciples, O ye of little faith. That was when the raging storm was there. And he went out and rebuked the sea for them, teaching them faith and telling them, still in the scripture, that if you have faith like a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, O you mountain, be moved and be cast into the sea. I need to be so for us. Jesus, show us how to exercise faith. And he also explained the scriptures to them. Luke chapter 8, verse 5 to 15 showed us a parable. After speaking the parable, Jesus in the closet, explain to his disciples. We should be able to teach others. When people come to us, we can only teach what we know. So we should spend time reading the word of God. Jesus explained. When people come to us, we should be able to explain the scriptures to them and give them examples in the scripture. He also released them into ministry. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. That was when the 70s returned and they were giving testimony of how they had gone and how demons were obedient to them. That is Jesus sending the 70s, releasing them into ministry. That is what God wants us to do. He said, go and preach the word from Jerusalem to Judea to the uttermost part of the earth. This is Jesus giving us the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 17, verse 22 say, now, while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hand of men, and they will kill him, and on the third day he shall be raised up, and they were exceedingly sorrowful. He prepared them. That's Jesus preparing his disciples for what was to happen to him. And having prepared them, eventually, that was why he was able to give them the Great Commission. He prepared them, man. A good leader should be able to prepare his followers for what is to come. And also, at the end of the preparation, you can also tell them that I have given you all authority that is that I have. And that is what Jesus has done. So, as a summary, if we want to be an example of Jesus, we must have a good role model. Jesus Christ, God was his role model. We must be able to love, because love, without love, there's no way we can lead. We must be able to sacrifice. Jesus sacrificed himself. And we must be able to know what the Father wants. And this is by fellowshipping with God. This is very important. And we must learn service. There's no leadership without service. Hallelujah. Praise God. Any question or contribution? All right. What I said is fellowship. We all know that God loves to fellowship with us. Now, what is a fellow? A fellow is a person that you are equal in rank. That is the English dictionary. And if God comes and wants fellowship with us, it means God is willing to condescend to our level. We are not equal with God. There's no way we are equal with God. It's Jesus that is equal with God. That's where I said the Bible says it is not robbery to consider him God. Okay? We are not equal with God, but God is able, he's willing to condescend to our level so that he can have fellowship with us. We can talk to him, Father. And that is why we're able to say, Abba, Father. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the boldness to go into the throne to obtain grace and mercy in time of need. This is the scripture. God wants to fellowship with us. He wants to bring himself down to our level so that we can commune with him. Any other question? A contribution. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your word that you've passed to us today. We pray that this word will mix with faith in our lives and it would profit to us and yield fruits in our life. Father, we thank you. We commit the remainder of the service into your hands. We pray that you yourself direct all the activities of the meeting today. In Jesus' name, amen.